Yeah, okay, thanks, Graham, for that very interesting, quite entertaining talk. Anyone have got anything to say about what Graham Morris has been talking about?
Yes, well, you mentioned advertising and the way that the capitalist system works. Many manufacturers now don't put their name in the collar, they put it on virtually everything on their website, so they're getting free advertising. Where if a person buys a product, it's North Pole or something is shown on their back, it's free advertising, so they're saving money in that respect and yet getting the publicity that they need for their product.
It's a very good point, and that's exactly what does happen. And I was with some friends on a New Year's Eve get-together. They were friends of friends, really, I have to say. I'm not disowning them, but I'll tell you the story, and then you'll see why I feel slightly uneasy about saying they're my friends. But their children all gathered round on this New Year's Eve get-together. And I noticed that the parents were giving out presents, and one of these little boys pulled out this T-shirt with Jack Wills written on it. And I had no idea what that was or meant or anything. No idea. And I know I'm cracking on a bit, but I mean, and then I was told by one of the parents, oh, Jack Wills, they all wear that now. You know, they've got to have it. And the bottom line, it was a T-shirt, you know, and heaven knows what they paid for it. And you're absolutely right. It's brilliant. Capitalism, this is why capitalism is so damn successful, because they get you to buy their own advertising. It's just unbelievable. And then they'll even add the kudos to it, so like you've just got to have it. You know, it's a must-have product and all this sort of thing. Yeah, good point. It's absolutely what happens.
Yeah, one of the main problems is obviously the class struggle itself. You talk about Chile as an example. What happened when people tried to create a socialist society? They were suppressed ruthlessly.
Yeah.
And that is one of the reasons, well, I would say the main reason why it's so difficult. And what is associated with that, I don't know if you know much about psychology.
No.
when people are afraid, what Freud calls, they use ego defences. They bury their heads in the sand. So although we can see, you know, most people can see, that if they do try to revolt against their condition, which most people do in one way or another, they know that they'll be ruthlessly suppressed. Their arguments will be ignored if they do anything that's threatening to the power structure. Then they will be stopped in no uncertain terms. Like you used examples of that.
Yes.
About a doctor.
Yeah.
Up in Alaska, wherever.
Yeah.
In Canada. Yeah. Well, we'll just get rid of him.
Yes.
And the thing like Chile, what happened to you? And we know from our own lives that's what always happened. And so people use ego defences. Or, you know, Wilhelm Reich talked about this a lot. He called it character armor. To actually bury bury their heads in the sand and not admit what's going on.
Yeah.
And that is why it's so difficult. People just keep making up all these rationalisations.
Yeah.
For what is really, they are really very frightened, and with very good reason.
Yes, I agree.
So we need to, you know, there needs to be some kind of crisis within capitalism that's so deep that it delegitimizes the whole system. Maybe we're moving to that now.
Well, one thing, you make a very interesting point, and one thing that would struck me about Chile, and I bow to the knowledge of other people here in many areas, obviously, but what that says to me is the importance of the socialist case of it being a world socialism. It cannot exist in one country, because if you look at Chile, who was behind bashing that system about? It's America. And you know, it was Nixon, or whoever it was at the time, who was sort of making damn sure that those bloody commie upstarts got bashed down. And it had that power behind it, which is why true socialism has to be worldwide. It couldn't exist. But what I think was demonstrated in Chile was the power of the working person. It was very interesting how that all worked, and the capitalist system at the time were getting terribly upset, and all the big companies like it must have been DuPont and ICI and all these massive companies and the big nitrate companies were getting terribly worried about what was going on. But then they had backing from all these awful, you know, all the other big American and so on. But in simple terms, what I'm saying is that I think you're absolutely right. But that's why socialism would have to be worldwide and couldn't exist in isolation. But and the psychology, I think that is an interesting thing, because that comes into how you communicate these ideas with people. And I do, and I think people, a lot of people are very, very frightened. But I did talk to a psychologist. I don't know anything about psychology per se, but he was telling me that what people tend to do with things that really disturb them or upset them, and that might be climate change, it might be that their child's ill, or it might be any number of things, they box it up in their head. So it's there, but it's such, they shut a door on it in the head. And so it's a mechanism that is used psychologically to try and, you know, shut out the problem. And I think probably most people, most of the time, are doing this. They probably all know that these things are going wrong, but it's sort of too horrible to talk about.
Yeah.
Are you a psychologist yourself?
No, I've studied some psychology.
Have you?
As a revolutionary socialist. Yeah.
I think a lot of socialists could study it as well.
Well, useful. Consciousness is a thing that we should all try and understand.
Okay.
As socialists.
Fine.
Yeah, I'm a member of the party, so I've been around the movement around 35 years, and we keep saying that socialism has got to be worldwide. Obviously it's got to be, but meanwhile, all of us that we live, we try to better our lives here and now. And every time we have a discussion with any reformist movement, or we keep saying it. And say the example in Chile, they try to do something and was viciously put down. Imagine it wasn't put down. So that example maybe would have inspired others. And we know that it's a socialism is worldwide. But then it's got to start and it's got to nourish, just like us, you know. I mean, I've got a few kids, and what I'm going to say to them, wait until socialism comes and then I send it to school, or and then I nourish it properly, or... No, you try to do the best here and now. And I think when every time we say that socialism is worldwide, we kind of push it back. And we are emotional beings, fundamentally. And it's exactly what our comrade said, it's the fear. Mm. And that fear is going on for 5,000 years, no? Religion and all the things. And so there's a perpetuation of fear which is imposed by force. And then in this part of the world, Northern Hemisphere, there is a bit of extraction of surplus value, so the living standard of the workers are a little better. And the compliance and obedience is much more readily through so-called democracy of what we got here. So it's kind of, I don't know how to put it. It sickens me, you know?
Interesting. We're working with ideas in a way. I mean, if I say something when I reply to the gentleman here, I mean, I sort of gave an opinion, but of course, if... Actually, Chile wasn't isolated, was it? Because you had other
sure.
South American countries also beginning to sort of vibrate, and Castro and everything else that was going on around it at the time. And it could be that it can start in that way. I mean, I don't suppose I was suggesting it just had to be suddenly everyone thought the same way. It would be great if they did. But it could be that kind of vibrating molecule that begins to influence everything around it. And it may be that it does come of some suppression. But I think even in Chile, they had a struggle in occasions trying to persuade the army to, because the army were vacillating from one side to another at one point, I think. And also, it's another time now. I'm not qualified to talk about this, but I would think that back in the 70s, brutal regimes were perhaps not tolerated as much, but maybe it was accepted that that was a much more brutal part of the world. I think if things happened in other parts of the world where brutality of that sort isn't tolerated, and 50-odd years on, then perhaps things might be different as well. So it's putting everything in perspective.
Hold on a minute, Jack.
Yes, thank you very much for an interesting talk. And I'm quite interested in the part where how the party itself, the Socialist Party, the Socialists of the World Socialist Movement, actually get the message out to those who have never heard of us or have this view of socialism that you hear on the radio, the chat shows, they're all socialists, and then they tell you about their bankers, their money, their leaders. But they're socialists and all this nonsense. How it's all the how real socialism is never mentioned out there, unless it's from a member of this party or companion parties or other socialists in the World Socialist Movement. It's always this state capitalism or bureaucratic capitalism. Now, I found your talk interesting in the sense of. Rather than just coming with a sledgehammer, like, not that any of us do that, putting across our message, but it may appear that way, how to put our message across without necessarily mentioning the word socialism. Now, I think we have to look at it a different way, and that is how do we take all that discontent that is out there, that is being channeled by your brands and your wealthy capitalist lefties and leaders of every type, politicians calling us all hard working and all this, you know, appealing to all this nonsense. How do we take that, all that that's carefully and steadily been pushed in a reformist way? Because all they're doing is channeling them into reforms or telling you how great it is that you formed a little cooperative. Lambeth has just opened a soup shop. They're very proud about this soup shop. Someone on the job centres, who was on job centres, was told to go and open their business, come off benefits, go and open your business, you get so much a week and all this nonsense. They've opened up a soup kitchen in Brixton. Shalimar's advertising it up the road. This was a two-page spread in Lambeth Living magazine. I've actually written to them to tell them how dare you. I mean, this is a business, a soup kitchen. This is the sort of nonsense that we're being fed every day. No one actually... I don't want violence. And the thing about this party, the World Socialist Movement, is we are non-violent. We don't have to storm the barricades. We don't have to go there punching fists and, you know, recklessly. And I think people feel that we're not actually doing anything in their view. Yet everyone has to take responsibility. Going off a bit centre, so I'll stop there, I think. I'm not sure what I'm asking you, really.
I'm not sure I'd have the answer.
But it's how to get, you know, them to come and engage with us, really. Without frightening them anymore.
Anyone else?
Question, Utopia. Regarding what's been discussed from my ear and others, about... the concept of world socialism. I don't think the party ever thought that literally, in a literal sense, I mean, I'm not sure how many nation states there are in the world. I mean, there's hundreds, aren't there?
191.
When the party was formed in 1904, probably less. But we couldn't really imagine simultaneously or even in a week or a month or a year even, about, you know, literally hundreds of nation states, for want of a better term, all actually going for a world change. So maybe that is utopian, but on another aspect of utopia, in regards to the environment and things like that, because after all, the early members of the party, as far as I understood, they didn't really have to deal with the environment. They were aware of the fact that there was pollution in the industrial areas of this country and others. But I don't think the environment was a real concept, really aware. Now, could we have free access? We could have free access within a social society. But we, what does it mean by free access? Free access of now, all these ego trippers, I mean, coming here this earlier today, a couple of idiots, so they're not even youngsters, middle-aged, got their hoods down because it was quite pleasant, tear arsing along from the word go, I don't know if they get away with it. I mean, the first class seating in teas. How they get away with it, I don't know. But I mean, the people are behaving like that, and the fact they've got these powerful motor cars, not Rolls Royces. Now, could we imagine in a social society people having all these things? I can't see how we could, if we're going to deal with the environment. If the environment is so serious, which it is, that's going to be an immediate target, isn't it? In the infancy of a social society. It's obviously to deal with the real poverty, you know, not because you can't afford a particular car. I mean, so that, the social society is going to deal with this, and I think maybe we don't want to face this.
So are you, but surely I made at that point very early on, and that is that a lot of the things that people see as prestigious or in some way said something about themselves would cease to exist. But I mean, in any case, before you had socialism, there would have to be, clearly, as you know, the vast majority of people would have to be coming round to that way of thinking I mean, I think people could have cars. I can't see why people wouldn't drive cars. It's just that you wouldn't... I can't imagine if you were trying to give a bit of a blueprint that you'd need to make the level of journeys you do now, or probably not even have to travel as far. You'd share cars. But cars wouldn't hold that sort of, look what I've got feeling about them. You know, I can't see why they would. They'd still be brilliant. They'd probably be better than now. They'd be made really well, because you wouldn't need to make too many of them, you know.
How about...
Hold on. Let's okay. Say Mac first.
Those who pollute the environment can clean it with improved machinery and things like that. I don't think that they may have a private jet as well. People in social media, we can't say we cannot improve the environment after polluting.
Fine.
We're kind of so disconnected. I mean, sometimes I feel we socialists are so disconnected. You know, we keep talking about pollution when there is so much wars going on and poverty going on and children dying from hunger.
Yeah.
And we're talking about whether in socialism the car is going to pollute or not. I'm sorry, but
I think it's just a symptom, isn't it? I mean, there are so many things that people tend to home in on different problems, but of course it's probably reasonable to say that the biggest problems are the fact that human beings are dying, and whether that's through war or starvation, clearly that must rate right at the top, I would have thought. But
billions of people don't have clean water.
Yeah.
And hundreds of thousands may go dying from just breathing the air.
Yes.
Premature. And most of your fed things that it kills us anyway, this junk food that we are calling food. So these are the fundamental issues. And I feel that the party has, or the membership has, I don't know, we just kind of emotionally we are accepted this delay, this waiting, this one day. It's, we, as if we are not burning anymore, you know? I mean, emotionally, we have become kind of passive. We're not even exuding emotion in our talks, in our speeches, in our writings.
That's interesting. I'm sure other people would answer that better than I could, people with more experience of the party.
Well, I so much disagree. For one thing, there is a connection between the different problems. There is a connection between the people suffering malnutrition, because there's more suffering of malnutrition than actually of the dying of hunger. That is the big problem. That's, I mean, it's a bit of a... Well, it's not a moot point if you're the one that's actually seeing your children die, of course. But, of course, we feel passion, but... What actually can we do apart from trying to put the ideas across, but recognising that the absolute connection between the different problems, and in looking at how things could be done, the difference between a social system that is based on common ownership, with production solely for use and free access to what is produced on a common sense basis, and it's not capitalism without the money, it's a different kind of society, but there's a connection between the problems, and that is what fires us. I mean, if we could somehow pick up socialism and give it, we can't do it, because it does leave the majority. And I would just like to say about Chile too, that it didn't have very much to do with socialism, and Allende, when he was elected, he only had 36% of the vote, and in the second election there were 55% voted against his party. But they were after the sort of the things, you know, like breaking up the big landed estates and so on. Yes, I quite accept that America had something to do with his downfall, but it wasn't a socialist a system there. It wasn't a majority in favour, and which is what we absolutely need. When you have the vast majority going for the idea, unless they're pretending, they are going for the idea because they are ready to institute the absolute change in the social system. And so they are prepared for it, and there may be a minority of people who haven't fully understood and so on, but that won't be a problem. They can easily be accommodated with the vast majority being ready for it, and a slight delay in different parts of the world wouldn't make any difference. And you make a comparison between the communications that you have now to what they had in 1904, and there's nothing can happen anywhere without it being known, throughout the world. So that I don't see that as a problem. And showing the emotion, it doesn't help. I mean, you can feel sick about what goes on, but I mean, you do drive yourself mad if you're thinking about it all of the time, and you have to. To think about other things sometimes. It doesn't mean that you don't have that the fire, if you like, the anger and the keenness to sort of contribute in some way to making the ideas come to fruition.
That's the stage. Can I thank you for a collection of £24.12? And following on from what Pat said about, and in fact others have said, about being socialism, party's going to do its little bit in the forthcoming European elections, which take place on the 22nd of May, where we will be standing in the South East England region and the Wales region. 10 candidates in South East England, 4 in Wales, which is the full party list in each. We've made, or in process of being made, of a party election broadcast to be shown in Wales, where we qualify for that. But we shall need as much help as possible in the campaign leading up to those elections. I think we're also contesting council elections in Lambeth and Islington. But anyone who, outside of the party, who can help in any way in assisting with that campaign leading up to those elections in May, if you'd like to contact the office here or the election committee, I'm sure any assistance would be greatly appreciated. Okay, you want to carry on for a little longer, or do you want to break for refreshments? Does anybody else want to come back on anything that's been said, or anybody who hasn't said a thing? Fred?
Well, I think one of the...
Hold on a second. Fred,
thank you very much. And you raise points that I've been going over in my mind for the last 12 months. But I've come to the conclusion that the working class aren't ready for socialism. They haven't matured enough.
Profound.
The question I'd like to ask you is that if socialism is a viable proposition, why is it that we're all in here talking about it and the non-socialists are out there.
Well, that's sort of the question I posed to everyone when I opened up, actually. And that was really what I was trying to get over. Why is it? Why is that? Yeah. And really the thrust of the talk and was really how one does communicate these ideas. And in a rather sort of humble way, I was trying to suggest some counter-arguments and how one might introduce thoughts about why the system is so obsolete and dangerous, and then bring people around to discussing this, and then kind of leading them off to form their own conclusions, oddly enough. Now, I know, as I said, that doesn't always work if you're trying to put, if you were on Hyde Park Corner in the old days, you'd be putting the case for socialism in a very powerful way. But I have found it personally quite a useful tool, as I said, to talk to people, bring in these ideas, and kind of engage them in the way that says, well, what do you think of that? What sort of conclusion would you draw from that? And you don't push on any ideas that may be perceived as political, but you very often find that A, they draw the right conclusion, and B, they're highly sympathetic to the ideas, and at that point, if they're interested, they'll come and talk to you at the end of the talk, and then you start to engage them with other things, and you could point them to the party, or you could develop that argument a little bit further. But I think, for me, that tends to work, and the reason I think it works for me is because when I have put a bona fide, straightforward socialist case, more often than not, you will meet with hostility and actual anger. And what are you saying? You're giving the same argument, but you're presenting it in a way that unsettles that person. It makes them very kind of, ooh, suddenly their own whole ideas are being questioned, and that's what they struggle with. I'm not saying it's the right way, particularly, it just sometimes works for me.
I think there's also a lot of evidence that people are put off by political parties. And this tends to amplify what Glenn's just said. I mean, for example, some of us are involved in various forums on the internet. And most of you will have heard of the Zeitgeist movement. Now, although many of those involved or connected with the Zeitgeist movement would have an objective which is very similar to ours, a lot, if not most, of those people involved are hostile to political action, as they call it, political parties, and they instead think that a change in society can come about without going down the political road. Now, how they can justify that or is another question. But there's certainly an incredible hostility to political parties generally at the moment. And I think this will be demonstrated in the forthcoming elections, that there'll be a lot of people who don't vote for any of the parties. And unfortunately, with ourselves, they're throwing the baby out with the bathwater. So, I mean, these are problems that we have to overcome somehow. And, of course, it makes the struggle that much harder. But that's I'm afraid, an inevitable fact of life. Anyone else?
Yes, well, I was going to make the point that the Labour Party is not the ones for having put forward the idea that their programme represents socialism. And I'm dealing with the local Labour Party, and their potential councillors are quite adamant that they're representing the socialist case by going down advertising representation to the Labour Party. And this is one of the problems we've got.
Oh, sorry, Ella.
I would like to say about, I don't know, the professor.
Peter.
So, Peter, you were saying, if I understood, you were saying that when people are in crisis, like kind of something, when people are in crisis, they may be more able to move on, to think about how to change the situation, blah, blah. Did you say that?
Think as a crisis gets deeper, which we're already in a very serious crisis, that will tend to the word is obviously delegitimize the system. It seems less legitimate, whatever. It seems we people look at capitalism and say, it's okay, it's working. Yeah. But as it becomes more and more obvious that it isn't working in more and more ways, more and more people are, like, even in this country, it's a really rich country, are relying on handouts of food.
Yes,
I mean, the system is just not working. The more it obviously becomes that it doesn't work, the less the word is legitimate, the less legitimate it becomes.
Okay.
So that's where... then it becomes easier for people to see.
Because I would like to say something from that. I believe that so. I think it's true. People lose the hope or they don't trust anymore in the system. But I think it's actually worse because they get...
If you're from Spain.
Yeah. And I think it's worse because they get paralyzed. And they just start moving on, like going to demonstrations. And I can tell you from my experience in Spain in the 50M, taking out the movement, blah, 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 all this. A lot of people, they start to move on, but just for self-interest. They are not socialists at all. They don't care. They don't give a damn for you. They just moved because they lost the flat, because they can't have their lovely car, blah, blah, blah. So that's a problem, because it's when people behave more primitive. And this actually, there is Naomi Klein? It's very popular, Naomi Klein. So she talked about the doctrine of this.
Shock doctrine,
and it's kind of this idea what I'm talking about. When people are in crisis, the deeper is the crisis, the more they become selfish, and the more they care only about their own interests, and the more willing they are to sell their ass. Like, oh, I do whatever you want, give me a job. I do whatever you want. Oh yeah, demonstration. But I don't have money. I don't have food. I don't have nothing. If someone else comes, I'm gonna sell my soul. So I don't really believe that. This is a help. I think now we are in a very bad moment in this case because people have to be educated. We have to be self-educated. I'm doing my own before the crisis and I'm continuing doing, but there's nothing to do for me with the crisis.
Yeah.
If you are moving because of the crisis, could be a good chance for you to wake up, but you have to be educated, otherwise you are just moving from your own interest, and that's totally capitalist. So that's one thing. Another thing that very quickly Rafael was saying about socialism. I believe that has to be worldwide. I believe so. At some point, should be, but I believe that has to start with yourself. Because what's the point for me to say, no, I'm socialist, I'm blah, blah, blah. And then I go to McDonald's, I buy in Bershka, in all the normal shops, I don't care about what kind of food I'm eating, I don't care about my rights in the world, I don't socialize with my people around in a socialist way. So you are not socialist, I'm sorry. You would like to be socialist. And then we say that working workers, they are not ready, like most of the people, they are not ready for socialism, which I totally agree, but we never will be ready till we start to do it. The only way to be ready is to start doing it, because otherwise we can put it off till...
What do you mean start doing it?
We have to start to be socialist, behaving socialist from our personal life. Then, doing union, demonstrations for me is like, doesn't really change too much. Maybe because, of course, I got the experience in Spain that after 1,000 demonstrations, the only thing we got to do is that now it's illegal to have a demonstration in Spain, just in case you don't know. And you are going to be persecuted when you try to do it by internet. So, you know, it's that this is like good for get people together, so they realize that maybe like, wow, we are more than what I thought. I thought I was the only one, but it's a lot of people complaining, but that's it. If after this you don't take a step forward and you try to organize something and move things on, there is nothing. Because I do things by myself that I think they are socialist, but I still miss this part doing things in like we lost this so many decades ago, and I didn't even know. The thing about doing, you know, it's not just about me, it's like about, you should do things but in your life, in your personal private life, plus we should organize each other, not just to go to the parliament and get votes, to start moving things, like initiatives, about little things that are changing, they can change the world. Like, for example, trying to take out power to corporations, for me, is one of the main pillars, one of the main things we should start to do. To do like work with cooperatives or start supporting like local business instead of corporations, do a lot of propaganda because this will be advertising about what corporations are doing, actually like informing people and start to be consistent about this. Because for example now, just a little example, I'm not perfect, I do a lot of, I buy clothes in commercial places as well sometimes. But I just went upstairs and I saw a like a ticket, or I don't know how you say discounts, of McDonald's. I was out to room. Like how in this office we can have like a discount like for someone if someone wants one, yeah? McDonald's. McDonald's is the sign of the company. No, don't go to McDonald's. Consistency. You say consistency, yeah. That we have to be consistent. We want socialism. We have to behave like socialists. All the time is impossible, that's true. But every little thing you can do every day, and you can keep learning and keep talking to people. What about you? What do you do? Bring in your bag when you go shopping. Silly thing. It changes so much if we all start doing this. The sea is totally contaminated because of using so many bags. This is socialist as well. It's not just about human rights.
Can we continue this after a little later? Because Glenn, our speaker, has got to leave in a couple of minutes' time to get a train back to Wales. So. Do you want to say anything in closing, Glenn?
Well, just thank you for listening. That was all. Nothing else.
So, I mean, I'd like to thank him very much for coming and giving his time. And, you know, there's an opportunity to carry on the discussion amongst ourselves after he's gone.